What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Angelo. With me, as always, is Alex. And today, I actually have to start this episode with some news. So, if you have been a continual listener of us, you will have noticed that we've dropped one, maybe two episodes of the basketball podcast within the last few months. And it is with an extremely heavy heart that I must say that I do not believe the basketball podcast is coming back. With that said, and if that is true, the football podcast will be reformatted and changed. And while those changes won't take effect immediately, they are coming unless something major changes. So, I think my approach at least is for at least the playoffs is we're going to continue running as normal. But after the playoffs, you are going to start to see those changes take place. And I think I'm going to go for a more structured episode. And because I will have to do more things just behind the scenes, you may see additional shows, you may not. I don't know. I'm working on that. But the point is, you probably will not hear my voice as often as you are accustomed to because of some transitions I have to do. And that sucks. I'm not gonna lie. That really sucks because I do like getting into the recording studio and I do like talking about this shit every week. But I think there are changes I am probably going to have to make. So enjoy this playoffs while it lasts. I know I am. Alex, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, I am good. Like, out of nowhere, we're just like getting a promotion. We're now the A show, all of a sudden, I guess. So, I'll take that as a positive, I guess. I tend to be a very positive outlook guy. I guess that's a positive. We're now the A show. And we're going to be a bit more structured, as you said. It's not just going to be like some of those weird rambles. Some things are gonna change. Some of the betting things are also gonna change. So that's going to be exciting. But stick around to find out what happens.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exciting for you. You don't have to lose to me every year.
Hey, now, this was a very close year. We'll talk about it in a bit.
Was a
But
close
this
year
was
because
actually.
I gave it you literally like
Hey,
unanimous power to make my pick for the second year in a row on the last
Angelo.
week. Go on.
It was a close week, nonetheless. Not a close week. It was a close year, nonetheless. Like, it doesn't matter what
I
you
was
say.
losing 13
You.
to 3, Phil.
13 to 3? What? Oh,
That week.
like a couple of weeks
The
ago?
week you don't want to talk about, yes.
Yeah, no, that. I don't know what you mean. Like, I don't remember that week at all. Like, maybe I hit my head or amnesia or something like that. I don't know. I think you're just like making things up, honestly. So I like the listeners never heard a review about that week. Like, they don't know that week
That is actually
exists even.
accurate.
So yeah, like they don't even know that exists, Angela. Maybe it's all in your head. I wouldn't put it just. Maybe it was just that because I don't remember it. So nothing to see here. Close year
Well,
nonetheless. I lose to you by like three games. I'm down
totally
three games in the
understood.
end. Yeah, I believe it. I'll talk about it a bit later. Doesn't need to be right now. We don't want to just completely throw this rain off the this train off the tracks. So we'll keep it here. We'll keep it going steady. And we'll talk about it when we talk about it.
All right, with that said, which head coach or coach do you want to talk about first?
I guess we'll just start off straight from the franchise who, how did you put it? Are very patient with their head coach. Like, no one here is really coaching for their life or for their job. Like, it does, because, like, the Patriots are very a patient organization. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, someone in this podcast did say, like, yeah, they were very patient when they fired like their winningest head coach ever, who built like a dynasty for them and gave them like the most rings out of almost every team in the NFL. When they fired that guy after like two bad seasons, or one bad season and one okay season, they really showed a lot of patience. So yeah, Jerod Mayo got fired. Funny story about Jerod Mayo. I don't know if you know this one, but I stumbled upon it because now that he's fired, like all of the good stories came out. But do you know how Kraft ended up with the idea that Jerod Mayo was going to be his next head coach after Bill Belichick?
Is Will
Like the
Levis
key?
involved somehow?
No. This came off. Basically, like they were stuck in an airport. Bill Belichick was still coaching the team. Jerod Mayo was on the staff, and they were stuck in an airport. Like bad weather, they couldn't really move out of there. And Kraft was in there with the team, if I'm not mistaken. And Mayo, out of nowhere, just organizes a team meeting in there with the defense, and is giving orders. He is being like the leader. They're just organizing it, and like Kraft apparently saw that, and he said after the fact, when he hired Mayo, that that moment and that quote unquote leadership that he saw from Jerod Mayo organizing a team meeting at an airport showed Kraft that that guy was going to be the next Patriots head coach, because apparently that showed them that players respected him.
Apparently they respected him enough that they tried to win the last game and
They
committed a
won it.
cardinal
They
sin.
even won it.
Yeah, they won it.
But like, how deranged do you need to be to think like that is going to be what decides who's your head coach going forward? Like that key moment.
I mean,
Some
you'd be
millionaires,
surprised
man.
what stupid shit like gets people hired in America. See, you're not used to this. You're in Portugal where apparently things make sense. No.
See,
People get hired for the
sorry.
stupidest shit all the time. I got promoted because I told a story about going to a customer's house while working for another company.
Great. That's the type of random shit that gets you hired. Oh my God. So yeah, apparently like he's just in line with America. I thought that was just like a deranged thing to happen. But no,
That's everyday
apparently
America, dude.
that is like everyday life in America. I just thought it was a billionaire being stupid, but no, apparently like everyone is that stupid in America.
Nepotism is like a second language for us.
Oh, okay. Got it. Got it. So yeah, that's Jerod Mayo out of the door in one season. Like, I mean, it was sort of coming. He really wasn't up to the task. It reminded me a lot about my team, my soccer team here in Portugal. Because we had a great coach that got hired by Man United a couple months ago, and we had this guy that they thought was a promising coach out of the B team. So now here we have B team. That's like, imagine if the Patriots practice squad was actually a team that played in a like the USFL or something like that. So we had a coach that we really liked, and who you was also like a former player for us as well. So we gave that
Double
guy the
A.
keys to the castle, and the guy, although I liked him, was completely inexperienced and way over his head in this job. The dude got fired in like a month. So yeah, I guess Mayo is that
A
version.
month?
Yeah, he
You
got
guys
fired in
really
a
don't have
month.
any patience over there, do you?
Dude, he had 9 games. He won one.
And how many games were there in a season?
Like it's for different competitions, but just so you know, we were like first in the league. I guess that's what you can call it. We were first in the league with like 7 points to spare or 8 points to spare. For context, the win gives you 3 points, a draw gives you 1 point, a loss gives you none. We had 7 points ahead of the second place team. We were second in the Champions League because now Champions League is like a league format. So we were second in the Champions League. And after he came in and he played like two or three Champions League games, he lost them all. We dropped from second to like 18th in the Champions League. And we dropped from like first to second or third in the league. Just like with him coming in, it was absolutely disastrous. Like, yeah, he got fired and now he's back on the B team. But I guess that's just like Gerard Mayo. Like, he was completely over his head, I think. Maybe he becomes a good coach someday, but it really felt like he was just rushed into things. Like, his coaching staff really didn't work out all that well. Like, the defense was actually good under Bill Belichick. And it just completely fell off a cliff. And the offense, I mean, it looked very anemic at times. I don't know if it is like the roster that wasn't all that good, which I guess played a part in it. But like overall, it really felt like he really hadn't all that much control over the team, and it wasn't all that good. So yeah, so I guess that's going to be Vrabel coming in. Who do you think they hire? I think it's like very clearly it's going to
I
be
think
Vrabel.
Vrabel is a perfect Patriots head coach, as much as I hate to say it.
Former Patriots player, he has all the ties with the Crafts. That just feels like the guy that is
When he
going to
was with the
finish
Titans, he continued the Titans
up.
tradition, like their culture, their leadership. His defense with the Titans was very solid, which is, again, that's a Patriots thing. You hang your head on the defense. And he's going to have someone who could develop into a franchise quarterback. Like I said, jury's still out on Drake May, but he did look very good, especially as the season went on. Like, compared to Jacoby Brissett, it was night and day, but he did look better as the season went on.
Yeah, like he's for sure like franchise QB in my eyes, at least right now. And I feel like a guy like Vrabel would probably steer him, continue to steer him in the right direction here. Just by like making his life easier. Like, you know what you're getting with him. It's going to be a coach that is going to coach up the defense, it's going to rely on the run game. It's a very, as you said, very Pats-like type of coach. A very patriot mind type of coach, so it's going to make Drake May's life a bit easier. Now it depends what other changes happen in there, because like the roster isn't all that great, and that's like as much as you can blame it on like Bill Belichick back when he was with the team. Like, it didn't get any better with him getting out. Like, the draft picks weren't all that great outside of Drake May, I would say. So, yeah. And now they're picking fourth, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, to be fair, he only had one draft.
Yes, he only had one draft, but I don't know. It feels like they need to bring a proper GM because if you remember, like, what they hired were like, internal guys. They just like upgraded their position, and they didn't really have a GM. It was like a director of football operations and another type of position of sorts. And like both together and the head coach were going to be sort of a GM, like with Kraft giving input. It was a very weird process. Like, instead of just hiring a fucking GM, like, I believe that's much easier than to do all of this. But yeah. Let's see. Right now, I think they're only looking for a head coach. They interviewed a few guys. It feels like Mike Vrabel is most definitely the type of guy that they want, though.
That makes sense. Makes sense.
So, I guess now it's since we're in the coaching, I guess we can talk a bit about a certain team that fired their DC. Can talk about that team and what happened
Season
to that
over,
team.
Alex? Is the season over, Alex? Can we let the, are you done? Are you ready to let the goddamn season die? Like I said, it was when we started 5-8.
if the Broncos forfeit, do they get replaced by the Bengals, or is it just like a win for the Bills?
Oh my God, this guy.
I'm just trying to figure out, but yeah, I would say right now that it's probably season over.
Okay. Okay, good. So, I think this was the most justified firing in the NFL. You can agree or disagree with that. But what if I told you that we had a top three quarterback in most statistical categories, a top two wide receiver in most statistical categories, and the pass rusher who led the league in sacks, and we missed the playoffs? What if I told you that all that happened? All that happened, and the team still missed the playoffs.
I would say that's not great.
Yeah. That's not great. It's not great at all. So, I guess do you have a case for him not being fired? I guess is the question.
I just think it's weird. Like last a couple of years ago, if I'm not
Weird.
mistaken. No, it's weird what happened, because a couple of years ago he was actually like in the run, I would think, to get an head coaching job. Like the defense was very good. Like Trey Hendrickson, Hubbard on the other end played very well. Like
We
the
still have both of
linebacker core
them.
was solid. Yeah, but that's what's weird.
We still have Logan Wilson. It's the same dudes.
Yeah, that's what's weird. Like I know there were some injuries in the secondary, but still, like we talked about it, like at the midway point of the season, what was changing here? Because like it's weird that a defense that was like middle of the pack, sometimes they were a bit better, a guy
Yeah,
like
last
Lua,
week came elite.
yeah, and it's like a guy like Lou, what's the name of the dude? It's Lou Amaru. It's something weird that I really can't pronounce, so I'm sorry if you're listening to this, Lou, but yeah. You're just Luke
I'm
here.
not sorry. Yeah.
Oh,
Lou for Luke.
it's just weird to me that a guy that was being rumored to be an head coach or getting interviews at least just falls off this bigly, like this
Same
massively.
personnel, basically.
Yeah, so that's what's weird. Like it just feels like the defense disappeared. Like did he forgot how to coach? Just like a
Maybe,
Sarah
like
Marshall,
I
forgetting
think
Sarah
this is a
Marshall
better,
situation.
I think this is a better question for film grinder Alex, because just from watching the games, it seemed like there was something that, and I can't put my finger on it, but it just seemed like there was something with his defense that teams were able to exploit that they weren't able to exploit. Because, like I said, Trey Henderson, monster fucking season, led the league in sacks. So it wasn't that we weren't getting pressure. There was just, and especially in the biggest moments, we just couldn't stop a fucking thing. We gave up 40 to the Steelers. We gave them their season high. We gave the Chargers, who are afraid of fucking offense, we gave them their season high. Like, I
Yes,
don't
part
know.
of the reason might be the decline in safety play, because like that's the big unit that I see having a complete fall off. Like since you lost Jesse
Dax Hill,
Bates back in,
we moved Dax Hill to corner.
you
And
moved Axel to corner.
I believe our safeties were Jordan Battle, and I'm forgetting the other safety right now.
I think you had Nick Scott in there, but you cut him, if I'm not mistaken. There's also like Geno Stone. I believe he played a few games. I think you had what's the name? The safety that you had back with Jesse Bates. Something Vaughn. What's the name of the dude? Something Vaughn.
I'm gonna put this up now.
What's the name
Something
of the
fun.
dude? Because it's only showing up Von Bell, and it's not. Oh wait, no, it's Von Bell. Yeah,
That
Von
is
Bell.
Von Bell.
Von Bell. Yeah, the guy that
Oh,
went
for
to
some
the
reason I was thinking
Panthers.
last name Von. It didn't click. It didn't...
Yeah,
Last
I was
name
thinking
Von
the
Bell didn't
last name
click.
was also Vaughn.
Yeah.
Like that's
Yeah,
why I
Geno
like.
Stone, Jordan Battle, Von Bell. Yeah. That
Yeah,
threw me.
and maybe like there was just a decline there. Like Von Bell was a guy that you had for like two seasons, if I'm not mistaken. Then he went to the Panthers. He just played one season with the Panthers. Then he got cut, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he got cut a year afterwards,
But
and he signed a
even
1 year deal
of
with you guys.
course, it's still Mike Hilton, it's still Cam Taylor-Britt. Like,
Yeah, from what I've seen, it seems like Cam Taylor-Britt really took a dive this year.
yeah, he regressed. He definitely
Yeah,
regressed.
he regressed quite a bit. Like, think he was just like blowing up coverages here and there. And like when the safety play isn't up to par, like it wasn't this year. Like it, I feel like the decision to move that steel to a corner really wasn't all that great. I thought it was kind of weird when it first came out, and then like. Daxel never really, I think he was a better safety than he was a corner, and then he got hurt, so like he wasn't neither. But I think that's your biggest problem. Like the secondary play, in general, cornerbacks really took a step down. Mike Hilton was still okay-ish, but he really couldn't make up for the rest. Like I feel like you really just decided that you weren't investing anything on safeties, and it cost you quite a bit, apparently. Like we always say that like safety, especially like the strong safety position, it isn't like the most important position in the league. And even the free safety, you have a few difference maker guys, but it seems to be a position in which teams usually chip out on outside of the very top talent. And it seems like you followed that formula, but you didn't actually pick up the right guys. So it went very sideways very quickly. And like another thing as well was like, I don't know what sort of impact the young guys that you guys have actually had in the games. Like, I know you drafted the guy like Chris Jenkins, for example, and it didn't really look like he was. I at least don't really remember of seeing them all that much. Like, I don't really see the impact plays that he had. And like Miles Murphy as well, if I'm not mistaken, was the first round pick that you guys had in 2023. He also didn't produce whatsoever. So it really feels like a lot of your draft picks didn't pan out. You weren't really getting that help on defense of the younger players, and like the free agent pickups that you were doing for the safeties, for the cornerbacks, really weren't paying out. So at the end of the day, I think that's what really screwed you guys.
Yeah, that's true. It's just it was a bad season. Like I honestly don't get what the Bengals showed you that gave you faith that we were gonna come back and make that Cinderella. Now, granted, we did win out, but that made you think we were gonna make that Cinderella comeback because it was just the writing was on the wall, dude. We scored like 70 points against the Ravens and lost twice. Like,
Hey, as you said, you guys did win out. So you did what you were supposed to. I guess it was just one too many losses. And the Broncos, like getting that last win, wasn't what I was counting on. But when the Chiefs benched everyone, I had hope that Wentz could do something funny here.
no, that
He
was. By
didn't.
the way, that was intentional. I don't care what Andy Reid says, that was intentional.
He did it to fuck you guys.
Yeah, they didn't want the Bengals. Listen, if it, I'm not gonna lie, even with the knowledge that the defense played like a fucking luchador and was or not luchador, but like a bull matador and going ole every time that someone tried to do offense against us, even with that knowledge, I still think we beat the Bills. Is that sad to say?
I wouldn't be surprised. I would
Like
probably pick you guys.
that's kind of the weird thing about the team is, yeah, the defense sucks, but you also can look down, look up, and we're up 21 nothing. Like that's how good the offense was, which makes the fact that we missed the playoffs even more sad.
But I do agree with you. Like, I do think you guys were right. To anyone, and if you had beaten the Bills, then you would go to KC, for that as well.
Yeah, in case you didn't want none of that. I'm telling
Yeah.
you right now, in case you don't want.
So I guess we're just gonna believe that conspiracy theory.
I don't care. It's probably wrong. I don't care if it's wrong. It feels right. I'm running on vibes right now.
Who is your preferred defensive coordinator hiring?
Someone like Jim Schwartz.
I was hoping that you would say Robert Saleh.
I Robert Saleh. I mean that might like dead ass. I think the person who's right for the Bengals is someone who's going to play aggressive and try to get turnovers because the offense is going to score points. Like, I think if this season proved anything, it's that we do actually need T. Higgins and we do need to pay T. Higgins. That offense runs just too incredibly well without T. Higgins. If the intention was always to get rid of T. Higgins, we should have not let go of Joe Mixon. I think we needed to keep one of those two. I don't think losing both is something we can reasonably afford, even if Joe Burrow is whatever you want to call him, the second best quarterback, the third. He's in the conversation. He's in the conversation as one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, whether you like it or not. So I don't know. I think we need a defensive coordinator who is aggressive, who, yes, can give up a big play, but is also going to generate turnovers and try to get that high octane offense back on the field as much as possible.
I do think Robert Saleh is actually going to be a good DC hire wherever he goes. But I did read the report that you guys weren't in on him. I believe the Niners have interviewed him to go back to being their DC. But he would be my favorite hire. Like for any team that needs a DC, that is going to be
He
it.
really needs to get off his dick.
Dude, I just think he's a good coach. Like in general, I think he was done dirty by the Jets, and it proved to be right. Like the rest of their season was a fucking disaster. The offense didn't really improve all that much, and the defense took a massive step down. So, like, what did you actually achieve in firing the dude? Like outside of like stroking Aaron Rodgers' massive ego, like you didn't really get anything out of that. So that's great. But I think he would be a good DC wherever he goes. Like he was an excellent DC under Shanahan back when he was with the Niners, and his defenses with the Jets were always good. So, and regarding T. Higgins, I do think that right now that's probably going to be the case. I 100% believe the mentality when they took Jermaine Burton was that he's going to be the heir apparent to T. Higgins. I don't know if they expected Jermaine Burton to be the guy that was like at 3 a.m. in a casino when you guys played Vegas. So the day prior, like he at 3 a.m. he was by himself at a casino just chugging the slots machine as much as he could, or a guy that allegedly just choked the native woman. That's like the latest report on him as well. I believe his tenant also kicked him out of the house because he was just breaking shit up. So that's a fun rookie story, I guess. That's a thing. So with that happening, I am fairly certain that you guys are going to resign T. Higgins now. And
Yeah.
probably cutting your third round pick or second round pick in Jermaine Burton. I don't remember where he went. I think it was the third.
Remember when people had faith in him? I was never on
Yeah.
board with him. I don't think I even drafted him in any leagues.
I remember when like he got drafted by the Bengals and all of a sudden almost everyone forgot the insane guy that they drafted, like a guy that even his own locker room in college hated him. Like he was just an issue from the start. And he wasn't a good like George Pickens issue. He was actually like a menace. He was just a loose cannon. Like I don't know what they expected to get out of this guy. But yeah. I think the writing was on the wall when like on week 4 or week 5 or something like that. Ja'Marr Chase like came to the media and they were asking him like did he give any words to Burton about like getting his act straight and whatnot. And he was like, no, like, he's a grown fucking man. Just, like, deal with your own shit. Like, I'm not gonna give you a pep talk. You're a grown ass man. Just deal with it. And it's like, yeah, when not even your teammates are on board with you, it seems. I don't know if that's going all that great. So, yeah. I guess that's bye-bye, Jermaine Burton.
Bye, Burton. On to the next Bengals wide receiver that I'm sure we're going to draft. I don't know. Maybe we do go all in with Yoshivas.
Hey, Yoshivas and Charlie Jones. I think we're both good guys. They came out
Oh,
in the
yeah.
same class. So it's just a matter of, like, in the games without T. Higgins, in which Yoshivas had to take that next step up and not be just like a red zone type of receiver, a big body catch type of receiver. When you actually had to play more of the T. Higgins role, he really didn't excel all that much. Now, can he develop into that role? That's another question. But I'm not sure if that's something you want to take the risk on right now. Unless you just, like,
Okay.
fully commit on going wide receiver in the draft.
Is it really
I
a
can.
good draft? I don't know. I haven't done too much scouting, but is it a good draft to go wide receiver? I don't think it is.
I haven't delved super deeply in this, but I think there's, like, two, three, four prospects that are actually quite decent. Decent to you, like, first round type of prospects, at least three, if I'm not mistaken, that I've heard about. But, like, I'm sure as the process continues, there's going to be, like, Senior Bowl hasn't happened yet. I'm sure that's going to be, like, a guy or two, like, that have that Christian Watson type of trajectory, in which they just go nuts at the Pro Bowl, at the Senior Bowl. And that really rises up their stock. So there's always the guys like that.
Yeah, they're all just.
So yeah, that's the Bengals. Poor guys. Speaking of teams that have great quarterbacks, Angelo, how about the Panthers?
Oh no, not this shit. All right. What do you want to talk about the Panthers? How they suck?
No, yeah. Am I crazy to think they're actually good? I
Yes.
feel like, you remember that, I think it was the first Brian Flores season with the Dolphins, and I think I've alluded to this a few times in the show. But it was that first season in which they were, if I'm not mistaken, they only won like one or two games. It was the one season in which you have, I'm not sure if it was like Jay Ajayi or something like that. It was a Dolphins running back that made a return that went for a touchdown versus the Pats late in the game, in which you had, like, Gronkowski deep in that field trying to cover up the end zone. I'm not sure if you remember that play, and then they just returned a touchdown. With a bunch of lateral, a kickoff with a bunch of laterals for a touchdown, and beat the Pats in like the last 1 or 2 weeks of the season. And that Dolphins team, you looked at it, and to start, they were absolutely like garbage. And as the season progressed, you could see, like, the wins weren't there, but you could see the improvement as the season progressed. You could see them actually look better week by week by week by week. Now, the starting point was so low that, like, every improvement didn't actually feel like that big. Or maybe, like, the starting point was so bad that, like, any minimal improvement would just look great on them. So maybe that's it. But, like, the year after that, they just, if I'm not mistaken, they finished with like 8 wins or something like that. And they actually had a solid season. I feel like this is what we're going to see with this Panthers team. I told you they are right now my pick to win the NFC South next year. I feel like Bryce Young really stepped up, man. He was playing with confidence. There was like a touchdown pass that he threw to Tommy Tremble, if I'm not mistaken, in which he was getting some of his cockiness back. He throws the pass, and he could see that it was going to be a touchdown. So then he just turns his back on the pass, and he just makes a touchdown celebration, really feeling it. And I didn't know, like, he was playing with poise, he was playing with confidence, he was looking good. He had five touchdowns versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers team to end out the no, versus the Falcons team to end out the season. I feel like they are actually going to be a good team going forward.
I think you have false hope. You have a
You
lot
think
of
I have
false hope.
what?
False hope. It's not happening.
You think I'm high on copium?
Yes.
I don't know, man. I feel like they're actually going to be a decent team. Like, you could see the improvement. You could see the wins. They were getting wins to close out the season as well. You could see that, like, Bryce Young actually played good.
Yeah, Bryce Young did look a lot better, but
He looked great.
great. Oh, about great.
Ah, come on now.
Come on now. What about him looked great? He looked okay. He looked good.
I was trying to find something out here. Because I always have
Twitter
my
search that.
tweets. My Twitter always has this booming. And I was tr just trying to find out something here that I had seen. Okay, here we go. Last 10 full games,
Oh my
Bryce
God.
Young has more attempts, more total yards, more total touchdowns, less interceptions, less sacks taken, more air. Yeah. What's the
Air yards.
any? No, I think. And I try to say. That's the adjusted net yards per passing attempt. He has, okay, so from the top, he has more attempts, more total yards, more touchdowns, less interceptions, less sacks taken, and more adjusted net yards per passing attempt than one CJ Stroud.
Well, yeah, and I get that, but you also have to understand CJ Stroud ended the season horribly on a terrible slump. Like, we're
Like
going to get
10
into
games,
playoff.
it's not really ending
Are
the
you confident
season.
in picking them over the Chargers? Give it to me straight.
Hell no, I'm not picking the fucking Texans, dude.
Okay. Well, but okay, I'm not picking the Texans. But by the way, Bryce Young looks better than the Texans. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, so I can't compare the two QBs who were picked one and two last year. One of them was hailed as the next coming of Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, and the second one was hailed as the next coming of Jamarcus Russell. But I can't really compare the two now because apparently it was okay to compare them when CJ Stroud was playing good and Bryce Young was in the gutter. But now that it has reversed. No, we can't compare them because now I'm comparing him to a shit QB, apparently. Like, where's the guy that was like the next coming of Aaron Rodgers? Isn't this the same guy? Like, I'm comparing him to a guy that is from his class, played the same amount of games, is in a better team, is in a team that, like, for all intents and purposes, was touted as one of the leading candidates for the Super Bowl this year, versus a guy that like was benched. After three games, my guy was benched after what two or three games, and like, now he's playing better than the guy who was on a team touted to go to the Super Bowl. But I can't compare them. And it's not even like end of the season; it's the last 10 games. That's more than half of the season, Angelo.
I'm just saying I think it's a little bit unfair to CJ Stroud.
Why? Because he has a better team. He's playing with better players. Like Nico Collins is probably 10 times the receiver that any of the Panthers receivers are. Joe Mixon is probably 10 times the running back that what who played for them, who played for the Panthers this past game. Miles Sanders is the starting running back for the Panthers this past game. Nico Collins is probably much better than Adam Thielen, I would say, or Xavier Drop It Leggett, who's on the
Xavier
Panthers
drop
as
it
well.
like get.
Like that's all he could have done this past game. So yeah, I
Mingo.
think it's fair. I think it's just fair to compare the two guys, but I'm sorry if it's not. And yeah, my guy has more passing yards in the last 10 games. Has a better touchdown to interception ratio in the last 10 games. has less sacks taken in the last 10 games, despite having a worse O-line, and has more rushing yards and rushing TDs than your guy, CJ Stroud. Despite my guy being like 160 pounds, soaking wet, he's still rushing for more yards than CJ Stroud. So it's just funny how the tables turn, I guess.
I'm just saying. One team got hot, one team got cold. Happens.
Great. So I'm just saying, maybe this guy is actually, could you imagine if the storyline ended up being that Bryce Young was actually the right pick all along, and he does turn out to be a better QB than CJ Stroud?
Better.
Can you imagine the crow you guys would have to eat? Like the crazy amount of crow?
You're doing this off of the end of the season start.
I'm doing this off of 10 games. 10 games is more than half of the season. I'm just saying that maybe we were a bit too quick. Maybe, like, I would give him another year, more years. Like, he has clearly showed enough to say, and done enough as well, because now the Panthers aren't really in a position to draft one of those high-end QBs. So Bryce Young is our QB next year, I would think. And with Dave Canales, I feel like all of the good process and all of the good bounce back play that you were seeing from them to end out the season, I just feel like it really can continue going into next year. And they can be all that much better. And they're still going to be playing like a last place type of schedule as well. So I feel like they can have a season like the Commanders had this year.
Like the Commanders hat? I mean, I
Yeah,
will give
just
them
like.
this credit. If there is a division that like doesn't want to win bad enough, it is the NFC South.
Yeah, it's just like division is in disarray. The Saints are like completely lost right now. They're like, what, minus $100 million in cap space starting next year. So that's always great. So that's like they just need to do all that much to just be under the cap. The Panthers, not the Panthers, the Falcons, they're going to roll out Michael Penix for next year. I'm still
Yeah.
not sold on Raheem Morris. Maybe he is a good coach. I'm not sold on it yet. And the Buccaneers just keep losing coordinators. Like their new OC is now being heavily touted as an head coach candidate. So I just feel like everyone that they have is keeps getting poached, and eventually the other shoe is going to drop.
Which, by the way,
And the
like, think about
Panthers
how good the
are just
Tampa
sitting there.
Bay staff really like was, just with Brady there. Like everyone from that staff is just eating still, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, for sure. Like the team is still very close to what it was under with Brady.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So yeah, I feel like the Panthers are
But
going
then
to have
we're
a
gonna
great
get here
season next
next
year.
year. We're gonna well not well yeah, it will be next year. They were gonna get here well this year. We're gonna get here in the late summer of this year, and you're gonna predict the Panthers to win the NFC South, right? Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Like that's not a prediction. That is a preview.
I thought you were gonna say that's a spoiler.
Oh yeah, that's wait, what's the saying? Wasn't that like CM Punk who said that?
Paul Heyman, but
Oh, Paul
he said
Heyman,
Brock
yeah.
Lesnar was going to end the streak. But
And that's not what did he say? Because I wanted to say that.
yeah, that's not a preview. That's a spoiler. That's exactly what he said.
Okay. So yeah. So for the Panthers, and that's not a preview. That's a spoiler.
Okay, if you say so.
Just
Oh, get your pants.
delete the other
Robert
saying
Saleh
from
got
your mind,
fired, so you
audience.
had to retire the Jets pom poms. So now you're picking up the Panthers pom poms. It's okay. It's okay.
The Banter's pom-poms are going to be in high demand next year.
No, they're not.
They are going to be.
No,
Like, yeah, the price of brick is going
they're
to
going to be
go
in a
up.
clearance bin somewhere in Nova Scotia.
Now, you know what's going to be in that clearance bin?
What's that?
Tyreek Hill's Dolphins shirts.
Yeah, you're probably right. I forgot about that news. What do you think?
Oh my God.
Where do you think he goes to? Back to Kansas City? Screw it.
I don't even know, dude. Like, on, if I'm not mistaken, you plated this Twitter photo to like a Antonio Brown's like shirtless self
No.
going off of the stadium with
Don't go
Tampa
full
Bay, and then
Antonio Brown.
you replaced the head with his own head.
Oh no, he's gonna go full Antonio
No,
Brown.
he's going to go full Antonio. Man, and like Antonio was also like going nuts on Twitter as well, but that's like for a different issue. I guess if we still had a podcast, a basketball podcast, that's probably an issue we could dial Fulge into. But since we don't, we'll just leave it there. It's also not the most new, not sport related topic, so we'll leave it at there. But yeah, I feel like Tyreek is really going into his AB stage right now. So that's fun. I don't know. It feels like Mike McDaniels really hinted heavily that Tyreek just took himself off of the game before that happened. Like I think his quote was that someone came to him and said that Tyreek wasn't available for the rest of the game, and Tyreek just like basically gave them a deuces, I'm out, after the game. Like,
Which, funny
he
enough,
really
would not
meant
be
it.
the first time a Dolphins player quit on the Dolphins in the middle of a game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the safety, right? The one that was with the Colts, Vernon Davis?
Xavier,
No, not Vernon
oh,
Davis.
no, it's Xavier Howard, I think it was.
Oh, was it?
Or was it
Okay. No, I think it was Vernon something. It's not Davis, but it's Vernon something. But I also think I'm thinking about a guy that played with the Colts. Yeah, it's Vontae Davis. That's who I was
Vontae
thinking of.
Davis, yep, that's right, that's right.
But it was I believe he left the Bills. He was playing with the Bills and then it was just like deuces. So maybe we're speaking of different players.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know where he goes. I feel like he could probably fit very well with Mahomes. Can you imagine like the deep ball to Tyreek Hill? I can almost Photoshop it in my head.
You know what I
How
can
good it would
Photoshop in
look.
my head, and the actual
What?
good fit, not in a football sense. If you want to watch good football, now this is not the take for you. But if you want pure entertainment, the peak of entertainment right here, I want you to imagine this right now. You ready, Alex? Close your eyes, okay? Okay, now imagine Tyreek Hill in a Browns uniform.
That looks disgusting, man. That really does look disgusting. Ugh. Now, you know where he actually could go? Where he would actually look good in?
Where?
Can you imagine him in a Panthers uniform?
Stop it.
It's the Sheeta in a
I
Panthers
don't think Bryce
uniform.
Young could actually throw deep enough to hit him.
Oh, he could. Like 2025 Bryce Young. He's going to be like letting those footballs on fire. He's just be throwing bombs, man. Just wait. You'll be
Oh,
surprised.
is Bryce Young going to
You
turn into
know
the player
where
that Alex
like
thinks he's going to turn into?
if we're actually like speaking of good places where he could go, like I feel like the
Bills would
Ravens
be a good
and the
spot,
Commanders.
honestly. The Bills
The
would be a
Ravens
good
and the
spot.
Commanders are the two names that I'm throwing into my head.
I have a hot take for you.
What?
Tyreek Hill isn't the number one wide receiver on the Ravens.
I think for their scheme that it probably is. I feel like he can do what Rashad Bateman or what Nelson Agholor do, but much, much better, of course.
I think Zay Flowers is still the number one.
But Zay Flowers just plays a different role. Like that would allow Zay Flowers to just play the slot a bit more. But like for what he does, like he's just going to be replacing Rashad Bateman and Nelson Agholor more, I feel like.
Not my boy Rashad.
Yeah, your boy Rashad just keeps getting those hits. But we'll see. We'll see where he goes. Like the funniest situation is if it like he just stayed with Miami and then next
That'd
year,
be
like
awkward. Yeah, that would be awkward.
no, but like next year Tua just gets another freak injury, and like the moment that he gets that freak injury, Tyreek pulls an AB. And he's just like, fuck it, I'm done. I can't do this anymore, guys. I'm out.
I could see that. I could see that.
Okay. So, did we go through most of the news? Because what I'm seeing on the dock, it seems like we did. Right?
Unless you want to talk about the dysfunction that is the Oakland Raiders, or not the Oakland Raiders, my sorry, the Las Vegas Raiders.
I feel like we can probably push those topics a bit more down the line because I can't really see any coach being hired right now. So maybe next week as
You
some
want
teams
to
get
talk about
eliminated.
your favorite team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, then? And Trent
Oh,
Baalke?
we could talk about them. A fun fact about Trent Baalke.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'll just say that Trent Baalke. Sorry. Bit of a cough.
For those who don't
This
know,
is
Doug
now
Peterson got fired, but GM Trent Baalke did not get fired. That's the news. Go on.
did not get fired. But apparently, like Shot Khan said that the next head coach that he brings in, if he makes a good enough bid, and mind you, this was an interview that he was making with Trent Baalke sitting next to him. He said that if the next head coach, the candidate, makes a good pitch to him on how else to improve the team in the front office, he would be all in to do that. So, like he was saying, if the next head coach comes in here and he tells me that I need to fire Trent Baalke, I'm all ears. And like Trent Baalke was just sitting there looking.
Why the fuck did he
So
keep him
that's
on board
fun.
then?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe it was just like, okay, I'm going to keep you here until I get a coach. And then the coach is just going to tell me what the fuck he wants me to
The
do with
coach
you.
will decide your fate, not me.
It's basically a bit like that. Yeah. Okay. So
You
just
want to
so you
play a
know.
game?
And then
God damn it.
the puppet comes in. Dun, 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 dun. We need that sound here.
Oh.
We need the saw sound on our soundboard. Okay, so Trent Baalke, he has been with the Jags for the past 5 seasons. In those past 5 seasons, how many times has he picked inside of the top three?
The top three in
Yes.
10 seasons, I would have to guess
In
four times.
five seasons.
Oh, in 5 seasons, I thought said that. Sorry. Then 2 times.
Three times.
3 times.
Before him, there was a guy in there, David Caldwell. He got to make five straight top five draft picks for the Jags from 2013 to 2017. And his predecessor, he also made a top five draft pick in 2012. So, like, I don't know, like, between David Caldwell and Trent Baalke, I don't know how this Jags organization keeps this sort of like incompetence hired, but I guess this is just what he have, like father like son, I guess.
Father likes.
Like, yeah, I don't know, like the guy you draft, who's that guy's name? I can
Which
only
one?
remember Kalavon Chaisson, but he also drafted Kalavon Chaisson in like the top 10, if I'm not mistaken. And he's now like a rotation defensive end. But who did he draft first overall
Trayvon
a
Walker.
couple years ago? Well, yeah, that's it. That's it. Like the guy who drafts Trayvon Walker. over Aiden Hutchinson and Kevin Thibodeau. Like, that guy should be fired the year after that draft from the
I
Athens.
agree with
Heck,
that.
that guy should
I
be
think,
fired after
see,
making the pick.
you can argue Thibodeau, but honestly, I think it was Aiden Hutchinson who was the 101 that year. Now, granted, with hindsight, you could say Thibodeau, but I think like during that process, it was Aiden Hutchinson. It should have been
Like,
Aiden Hutchinson.
with hindsight, you said Aiden Hutchinson fairly easily. Like, I was on the Thibodeau camp. Like,
That's fair.
Thibodeau hasn't done, like, even a smiggle of what Aiden Hutchinson has done.
That's fair. Aiden Hutchinson is one of the top pass rushers in the NFL, and
Yeah.
Thibodeau is not. So that's
Thibodeau
that. I guess
is a
that's fair.
rotation guy.
But I don't know. I've never heard, like, and I heard you say it, but I didn't hear an analysis. God, what is it called? A reporter, a draft analysis. I didn't hear a single draft analysis say that Thibodeau should have gone ahead of Hutchinson.
Yeah, and like there was a very minority of guys that said it, and most of them came from the pre-process hype that Thibodeau had, but like the majority were in Aiden Hutchinson. Like no one was on Trayvon Walker though, like only the very like
All
Trent
Trayvon
Baalke
Walker
like
had
dumb fuckers.
was that he was freakishly athletic and that he could play multiple positions. That
Yeah,
was
and
it.
like.
That was it.
And Trent
Wasn't a
Baalke
bad.
saw all of that. He was at the combine. He saw all of that, and he immediately became the image from South Park of the guy just like jerking off at the computer.
If I don't recall, his stats in Georgia that year weren't even that impressive. It was
They
just
were
he had a
shit.
good, yeah.
They were shit because he still isn't a true pass rusher. Like his best position is still on the inside. That's where he can actually do something. Because his pass rusher moves are just like utter bullshit. Like he is not good on the edge. Like he is not all that talented in terms of like playing the edge position. He's a freak athlete. But his best position would be to gain some weight and just play on the inside. But like you can't really justify drafting a guy first overall and then just play him on the inside
For
of a
an inside
defensive line.
linebacker.
Like, yeah, not inside defensive line.
Oh, it's a
So
defense,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. So you really can't justify that. So he's just a wasted draft pick. But yeah. So Trent Baalke stays apparently. He has nudes of shotgun, apparently. So that's fun.
That's fun. Do you agree with the Doug Peterson firing?
Yeah, like that was coming. I was surprised he wasn't fired sooner, I would say. I just really can't envision a place in which you just go forward with Doug Peterson. Like his record with the Jags was actually like ridiculous. If I'm not mistaken, he lost like in the last two seasons, I believe he lost like 30 something games. It's just insane.
Yeah, that is insane. What was my follow-up question? So people weren't fans of the Trevor Lawrence contract when it happened. And that was when people viewed him more or less as a fringe franchise quarterback. Do you believe that the narrative around, not the contract has changed, but the narrative around Trevor Lawrence as far as his ceiling goes has changed, and what do you think he is still the future quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Like from the get-go, that contract was just stupid. That feels like a watershed moment, which is like that was the moment in which we said, okay, it is okay to pay mid-ass QBs who have never really done anything for the franchise. It's okay to give those guys $50 million per year. Like that was the moment in which we completely lost it. We completely lost the plot with all of the QB signings. We seem to be built to think that if we do not pay the QB that we have for as average as it can be, it is always better the unknown than the unknown. And I just feel like sometimes it would take a very ballsy choice to go against that mentality. But it would be the right pick Like there should be no one in their right mind who goes in there and has that decision to make between giving $50 million to Trevor Lawrence, who, mind you, has one playoff win, as if I'm not mistaken, one winning season in his resume. And that playoff win was versus the Chargers, who just like gave that game away. And like, look at that guy,
Talk about that
look
one.
at what he does, and just like give him $50 million API. Like, that should never be a thing. And the moment that it happened, it just became okay to give very big deals, very like league-breaking deals to guys who are like average to mediocre. And it just sets a bad precedent. Like, those guys should be like, okay, you're never resetting the market. And again, Trent Baalke, being the mastermind that he is, he decided, okay, let's just give him 50 million. Because what happens if we don't give him 50 million? We become a team that is drafting top five in the draft. Oh, surprise, surprise, you're still drafting top five in the league because you gave the guy that
Do
is
you think
average
there's a
50
chance
million dollars.
they draft a quarterback? The Jaguars do.
I don't think there's a realistic out in that contract right now. So I would be inclined to say no, especially in this draft class. QBs really aren't that highly rated or touted. But right now I can look at it. So is Steele, Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence. So for his deal right now, he has a $24 million cap hit next year. Like, his first realistic out would be in 2028. Like, if you cut him this year, like, yeah, it's astronomic. It's an astronomic number. So I don't really think they will ponder the QB. I feel like they'll give him another year. Probably they'll give him 2 more years, because after that it becomes feasible to get out of that deal. But for the next 2 years, you're basically like stuck with him. So, like, worst case scenario for them, or best case scenario, I guess, is that he keeps playing poorly or he gets injured again. Because like, that's another thing that people don't talk about. Like, the injuries that pile up on him, and even though he tries to be the Iron Man, like, at times when he plays through those injuries, it's even worse. Like it happened last year, so 2023, 2024. So, like, for next year, they're stuck with him. The year after, they're stuck with him. 2027, you have sort of an out to get out on the, from under it, or at least like make it reasonable enough. So I guess like your best shot is that he sucks for another 2 years. You get a high draft pick in the 2027 draft, and you just cut bait from Trevor Lawrence. Or that next year he plays well and you get to trade him, because the cap hits coming up are not kind, and he has not shown to be the QB to deserve this type of money.
Yeah, I generally agree with all that. Like Trevor
Like,
Lawrence, just
he's just not pan out. Like,
which is
he's
crazy because
average.
he was the highest touted quarterback since Andrew Luck, basically. Like,
Yeah. I feel like that was the first time ever since I like started watching a league in which like the quote unquote generational QB came out.
oh, so
Now
you were
it's
there
been
for luck?
used. What?
There for luck.
No, I wasn't there for Luck. Luck was 2012. I only started watching like 14 or 15. So
Interesting.
like, I wasn't there when Luck came out. Like, I believe my first draft class, or one of the first draft class that I saw, was the Winston Mariota one. So after that, you had the Baker Mayfield one, which he wasn't thought of as generational. Then
No.
you had the Kyler Murray one, which also not generational.
Nope.
You had the Daniel Jones one. If I'm no, that was the Kyler Murray one as well, right? Okay. 2020 was the Trevor Lawrence one. So that's like the first big one there I remember. where a guy was like touted as generational.
Joe Burrow was in 2019, but I don't think he was touted as generational.
But he wasn't generational.
Yeah.
Like there was discussions
He kind
between
of came out of
him
nowhere.
or yeah, like he had that great season in college football, but like before that, I believe he was a transfer to LSU, right?
Yeah, from Ohio State to LSU, yeah.
Ohio State, yeah. So he wasn't really touted that highly. Like after this season, of course, he got that new hype, that newfound hype. But like before that, like he wasn't in that realm. So it was truly like Trevor, and what a disappointment.
Does this make you more skeptical of giving that title to people?
Like, I think you always need to be skeptical because, like, generational is just like it's such a high bar to clear, right? And
It is.
it just becomes like that much harder. Like the weight of the expectations as well. Like I know a lot of these kids, like to Trevor Lawrence, the Caleb Williams. Those guys were like they had that hype coming out of high school, for example. So like they've had that hype for quite a bit now. Like when they go into the league, they're like 3 years removed off of that hype. They probably have like 4 or 5 years of a hype, like when they were in like the second year of
Another
high
good point
school.
because Caleb Williams did get that kind of hype, and first year, once again, it's an extreme. You just said it; it's an extremely high bar to clear. Caleb Williams did not clear that bar. I'm sorry,
He did not.
I don't even know if you can make the argument that Caleb Williams and Justin Fields were really that much different rookie year. I'm
Oh,
sorry,
you
buddy.
definitely can.
Oh, you definitely cannot,
Do
or can.
you can?
Ken?
Okay.
Oh man.
Okay, now I need
Oh
to pull up
no.
stats here.
You're gonna bring up
You're.
passing stats. Oh my
No,
goodness.
I'm sorry. I thought we were comparing QBs. Are we comparing like running backs or something like that?
This guy.
I could have sworn that they were both QBs, or at least drafted to play QB.
I'm
I know
saying
it's hard.
that kind of ignores the context that the Bears literally went all in on Caleb. They got not one, but two wide receivers in-house, one in the draft, one via trade, as well as already having DJ Moore in the building. Signed a running back, invested in the offensive line, or already had a good offensive line, according to you. And Justin didn't have all that. Justin had Darnell Mooney. Like,
Yeah, Darnell
I'm
Mooney is great right now in Atlanta.
are we really like you're really gonna compare like Bears all in Caleb Williams season to Justin Fields Darnell Mooney production? Go
I
for it,
am
baby. Go for it.
not. I am not. I am just saying that one guy threw for like 3.5K yards passing. He had 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Can we just like admit that that's not a bad rookie year? Despite playing
Not a
with
bad
three
rookie year, but
different
it
head
doesn't clear the
coaches,
bar. It doesn't clear the bar.
it doesn't. I'm not even saying that it clears the bar. I'm just saying like that. There's not even a comparison in my eyes to Justin Fields' rookie year. Plus, you also had to factor in the amount of like issues that Caleb Williams had to face in terms of coaching staff. Like he started off the season with Eberflus as an head coach. He loses the head coach. The OC takes over. The OC plays like what, two games in there. He gets fired. So now the passing game coordinator takes over for the last like few games of the season. He effectively went through three different head coaches during a single season, three different offensive coordinators during a single season. And it's like, do we not put any weight on that?
I think.
Meanwhile, you're sitting here and you're telling me that. So yeah, in Caleb in Justin Fields' first year, he threw for 1,800 passing yards. He had 7 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. And you're saying that's like, I'm not really sure if that surpasses what Caleb Williams did when he threw for like double the amount of the passing yards, and he threw for three times the amount of touchdowns and only had like half of the interceptions. I feel like that sort of clears what Justin Fields did, sort of, like not even maybe. It's just a maybe, Angelo. Just a maybe.
Just a maybe, huh?
Just a maybe. So yeah, I feel like if he didn't have the hype, we would be sitting here and we would say, okay, this is a decent rookie season in terms of like his numbers, not the overall record. But hey, I do not remember the last Chicago Bears QB who was undefeated in Lambeau. Do you remember?
That was half their wins, Alex.
No, like he had one win in Lambeau. They had five wins.
Oh, okay, my bad. It just felt
No,
like half their wins.
but like I need to be remembered of the last rookie QB
He played one
who
game.
won in Lambeau. Hey, he played one game. What's the record in Lambeau?
One and a half.
Okay, so that would mean that he is, what's the word, Angelo? What's the word when you haven't lost in a place? Help me out here, because English is not my first language, as you know. What's the word when you like you haven't lost? Is it, I think it ends with like, I think it starts with under something, right? Angelo?
Intervene, which is what Caleb Williams.
No, I don't think it's that one. I think something like undefeated, right?
Unwarranted.
No, I really think it's undefeated. But I can Google it just to see if the word is correct. But yeah, undefeated in Lambeau, Angelo.
Undefeated in Lambeau.
All
I
right.
think for this episode.
Should we close it out with the playoffs?
Yes, we should.
Okay. So, how do you want to do this? Do you want to go with the betting first and then we make the playoff predictions, or vice versa?
So it'd be weird.
It's weird whichever way you put it, because
Because
we're
here's the
going to be
thing.
spoiling.
Let's say you think a team's going to win, but they're not going to clear the line. That's going to be weird for someone to hear two different things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But we can also like think that the team is going to win, but it's going to be close. Like there's some very massive lines this week. Like there's some tens, there's some nines in here.
Reminiscent of 49ers when they were. For last year, 49ers.
Oh, what a distant future. What a distant past.
Past, yeah.
I know. I think we can make the predictions first and then make the picks. And it's like then this way we get to like just make our picks and we make our predictions for the playoffs and then we can actually say how close these games are going to be.
Yeah, well, yeah, the picks are just for the first round, though. It's not for the whole playoffs, I'm assuming. But
Do you want to make the whole playoffs and just give a Super Bowl winner before it begins?
yeah, I think so. I'd want to do that.
Okay. Okay. So I have it open here. I can fill out both brackets as we go along.
Yeah,
So
so
let's
how
just
about
start with that.
well, how about we start with the picks and then fill out our brackets and then give the brackets at the end.
Okay. Okay. That works for me as well. So I have the lines open here. I'll just read out the games and then we'll pick. It's better because it's not on the app anymore. So instead of like having games mixed up, we'll just go this way. Do you want me to give you the best available lines in the market or like the most common available lines in the market?
Doesn't Sleeper have them? Can we just use our Sleeper app?
Oh, it's not Sleeper, it's the app, Angelo. It's the app. We
The
are not sponsored yet.
app. We are not sponsored yet.
I don't think they have the playoff games. It's only regular
They do
season.
not. So yeah.
Okay.
Isn't there
I
one
have the
like
lines
Vegas
open
Odds or
here.
something like that?
It's Vegas Insider. That's what I'm looking at. If you want me, I can just like give you a link here. Now there's like it's on Discord in general.
You. Okay, I'm in here. Yep, Vegas Insider.
Okay.
Yep, I got it. I'm here.
So do you want to just like, for example, the first game, most of it is three by now. There's still like one minus 2.5 in FanDuel. Do you want to go with the most available line or do you want to go with the best line?
Well, let's go with the most available line.
Okay.
What most people agree. I think that's fair,
Okay.
don't you?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Okay.
So, go ahead, sir.
Do you get to start or do I go?
I'll start.
Okay.
All right. So, the first game is the Chargers at the Texans. The Chargers are actually 2.5 point favorites.
No.
Or 3 point favorites. Sorry. 3 point
Sorry,
favorites. Sorry. I
point
was looking at
favorites.
the far left. My bad. 3 point
Yeah.
favorites. That was the open. That's what opened it. Okay. The Chargers are 3 point favorites. Oh, you're going to hate me for this one. I'm picking the Texans.
Oh, fuck off, dude.
Yeah.
You know what's my favorite bet of the week?
Bet of the week.
The Chargers minus 10.
The Chargers minus 10.
I think this is going to be a massive ass kicking.
A massive ass
A
kicking.
massive ass kicking. I feel like the
Okay.
Chargers are just going to run all over the Texans. It is going to be like they're going to throw some weird looks at them on defense, which the Texans tend to struggle. And I just feel like they're going to win this game, like, I don't know, 30 to 17 or something like that.
You think it's going to be that bad?
I think it's going to be that bad.
I think you're crazy.
It's going to be a proper ass beating.
I'm getting non-flashbacks to that Jaguars game, and
Now, this
I
is
don't
a
want to go back.
different
I don't
Chargers
want to go
team,
back. I don't
Angelo.
want to go back.
No, you're actually on the wrong side of this right now.
I don't think I am.
I definitely think you are.
I don't
But
think I
okay,
am.
so you are going with the Houston Texans plus three. I'm going with the good old ass beating by the Chargers. With the Chargers minus three. You can just juice up this puppy all the way to the gills. Make it look like Hulk Hogan or some shit. Take it minus 10, take it minus 11 and a half. Just go for it, go am. They're going to destroy the Texans. The Texans are not a good team. CJ Stroud is not a good QB. He missed. I mean, he fooled you all. He fooled me for a minute as well. Not anymore.
Fooled you for a minute.
Not anymore, though. Okay, next up, it's the Steelers at the Ravens. The Steelers, from what I'm seeing right now, it opened at 8.5. Right now, you're seeing some tens, but like
Nine and
most
a
of it
half.
is 9.5s. Yeah, and it's still like good money. It's not juiced. So 9.5 is what you have right now. Like, if it was 10, I really would like the Steelers all that much. At 9.5, though, I feel like that's like the hook. If you are in the 9.5, I feel like you're really getting hooked. I'm just gonna go with the Ravens minus the 9.5. I feel like that's just the right number to get me in. Anything like the plus 9.5 for the Steelers. If it's plus 10, I like it. If you can get plus 10, good odds, I like it. If it's 9.5, give me the Ravens. Because I really think like they're gonna win by like the 9-10 margin, and I don't want to get hooked on that one. I'd rather get.
You'd rather get what? You'd rather get the Ravens, is what you meant. You'd rather
Yeah.
get the Ravens. Yeah. All right. That makes sense. With that said, give me the Steelers. I think this is going to be a lot closer game than you think it's going to be.
I feel I just struggle right now. Their offense has really taken a
Except
step
against the
back.
Bengals.
I mean, that's like everyone, right? We
Yeah.
could probably make a team that is somewhat competitive versus the Bengals defense.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Okay.
Right, next
Next
game.
up.
Is the Broncos at the Bills? The current most common, this looks like a 50-50. Oh God. Current most common
It is
line is
very
actually
close.
8.5. It's
Yeah.
literally by one. So
I think
Bills are favored.
it's really moving between the two right now.
Yeah. So the Bills are currently favored by 8.5 points. Give me the Broncos on this one.
Yes, I agree with you. I feel like a lot of people are really writing this game off as like an easy Bills win. I
Yeah.
don't know. I feel like the Broncos have a say in this. I feel like their defense is solid enough. I've seen a lot of Buffalo Bills games in which it can just go south really quickly. Like, couldn't you see a scenario here in which the Bills struggle to start in terms of like making extra mistakes that they shouldn't and whatnot,
Oh, 1,000%.
and the Broncos just like slowly get away with it. They're up like 10 or something at the half, and the Bills just like try way too much and just make way too many mistakes than they should have. A bit like the Ravens game that happened a while back when
Listen,
like.
if this was the Bengals in this slot, I would be all in with no matter what the line was, picking the Bengals. I do not have faith in the Bills to win consistent games in the playoffs. Maybe that's foolish, but I do think this game is going to be a lot harder fought game than the odds say, or the lines say.
I agree. I feel like this is going to be a game in which, heck, I wouldn't be surprised if the Denver Broncos won it.
Yeah, same.
Honestly. We're both on the same page here. It's a round of Broncos for us. Okay. The next one up. I believe this one is mine, right? So it is the. Wait, no. So you pick the first one. No, wait. You pick the first one?
I picked the first one. You
Okay, so
picked the
this one
second.
is mine. So this one is mine. Okay, so it's the
Oh
Green Bay
no.
Packers at the Philadelphia Eagles,
Oh
the
no.
Packers. I mean, this line is literally 50-50, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No. Absolutely not.
Wait, no.
No.
No, in terms of 50-50, in terms of what we can get here.
Oh yes.
Like there's like four fives and there's like four and a halves.
Yeah.
I feel like the fives are probably the way to go here.
That's fine.
Because like I think I'm just gonna go with the fives. So Green Bay Packers, they are 5-point underdogs at the Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts has cleared concussion protocol today. AJ Brown did not practice, but from what I've read, it is mostly like a precautionary measure to see if he can get back to 100% closer to the game time. So they're like completely avoiding him training anything, practicing anything. But that's still somewhat concerning. The amount of time that it took from Jalen Hurts to get back from the concussion protocol, I mean, he hasn't thrown a football in what, 3 weeks now? Just feels weird. And the Packers, I feel like when two teams play more than once and they're not like divisional rivals, I don't know how many times the team that wins the first matchup actually wins the second one as well and just sweeps. So I don't know, call me a hater, but give me the Packers plus five.
You're a hater. Give me the Eagles.
Even with no Christian Watson, I feel like this is. If the Packers aren't on a good day, they probably win this game.
Okay.
When they're on, you know that they're on.
That is true. So, Next game. Oh wow, the next game's basically a pick 'em. Right now, Commanders at Buccaneers. For the most part, everyone has Buccaneers favored by 3. I do think that makes a lot of sense. No one was expecting the Commanders here. The Bucs, while have been very inconsistent, they do have players that are very accustomed to playing in the playoffs. Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, the players on the defense. Like, I'm going to go with the experience here, and I'm going to say that Jaden Daniels is not going to carry the Commanders to win this game. I'm going to go with the Buccaneers, giving them 3 points or clearing 3 points.
But you went with the Buccaneers, right? I don't know. I feel like this game is either going to go terribly for the Commanders or terribly or great for the Commanders. I really can't see an in between. I don't think this is going to be a close game. At least that's my read right now. I feel like the Commanders had a lot of hype at like the mid part of the season, then we started seeing their real colors, and then some of their wins late. They were sort of getting bailed out in a lot of those. So I really don't know what to think of the Commanders. Like the Eagles game, for example. They won that game. They had five turnovers. So I just think that they're gonna get caught eventually. But I also sort of think that the Buccaneers are gonna get caught eventually. Like the win they had just this week versus the Saints, it really felt like they were playing with fire and the Saints were in it for a good bit. So no, I think I'm gonna go with the points. I don't know who wins this game. I'm leaning the Commanders, but I'll just take the points on the off chance that this game is actually close. So yeah, Commanders plus 3.
All right.
Okay, next up.
Second
So
game.
this one, it is the last game of the week. It is the Minnesota Vikings at the Los Angeles Rams. This game opened at the Vikings minus 2.5. It has been shifting towards the Rams. There's mostly ones right now. There's not even 1.5s all that much. You're only getting ones here. So minus 1, everyone and their mama seems to be betting on the Rams. I feel like a lot of people look at this game and think that this Vikings team is the same exact team from a couple years ago, when they had this great record, but they seemed really fraudulent. And they're looking at this team thinking that they're all that fraudulent, especially after the loss versus the Lions, in which Darnold sort of looked like he turned back into the pumpkin. And they're looking at the Rams, and it's like the Rams are that team that you never really want to face in the playoffs. They are consistent. They know how to run the football. The defense is good enough. They have two great weapons on the receiving game. They have the experience with Stafford and McVay. They have the Super Bowl experience, winning the Super Bowl, getting to the Super Bowl with McVay twice, winning it once with Stafford. But I'm just gonna go with the Vikings, man. I feel like people have a wrong read on this Vikings team. I feel like if they have not even beat, but if the game versus the Lions was closer, I feel like this line would have stayed at minus 2.5, would have gone up to minus 3, probably minus 3.5, and everyone would be on the Vikings. But on the prime time, it didn't look great, and I just feel like that's a divisional matchup. You really can't put a whole lot of weight on it. I still think the Vikings are the better team, and I feel like the Vikings are going to beat the Rams.
I remember when Alex was like, "Oh, what? You're underrating Matthew Stafford? Matthew Stafford is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL." And now sitting here, he has the chance to pick Matthew Stafford, and instead he picks Sam Darnold. I am not. You basically just gave an argument for why you should pick the Rams and then pick the Vikings at the end. Quite honestly, I don't understand like why you gave that little diatribe and then picked the Vikings. So
Yeah,
I'm just gonna do
it
the right
feels like
thing. I'm gonna
everyone's
pick the
rationale.
Rams.
It feels like everyone rationale is just like what I laid out. But it feels like we're just undermining a very good Vikings team. We had a very good season, had a great defense. The defense hasn't really taken a dive, hasn't really underperformed recently. The offense, I mean, they have a bad game here or there. Like the Lions defense, I feel like their scheme makes up for the lack of talent and the players that they've lost on defense. And they're still bringing great pressure. That's what really disturbed Sam Darnold. I'm not sure if the Rams are going to bring all of that pressure. And I feel like their defenses can get exposed fairly quickly. So I feel like undermining this great Vikings team really isn't going to work all that well for people. And you're on that side now.
And I'm going to win.
We will see about that. Okay, so now for the predictions to close out the show that has been going what for now, what, 2 hours? God damn. This one has been going for 2 hours now.
Good show.
Playoff special. Okay, so I have the two brackets open here. I can run both or I can send you the bracket and you just fill it
I don't
out.
care.
What do you want to do?
You can run both. It'll be quick
Okay.
and easy.
Okay, so first matchups. Texans, Chargers, who do you have going ahead?
Give me the Texans.
Texans. Okay, I guess I'll just fill out your wild card bracket. I'll fill out my wild card bracket, and we'll keep going like that. Then divisional round, conference, Super Bowl. Okay, so Ravens, Steelers.
The chance to be a freaking Ravens hater is real right now, but it's not the Steelers, bro. Give me the Ravens.
Okay, Bills at Broncos. Broncos at Bills.
Give me the Bills.
Bills. Vikings at Rams.
Give me the Rams.
Commanders at Buccaneers.
Buccaneers.
And Packers at Eagles.
Eagles.
Okay. So for me, Texans Chargers, I'm going with the Chargers. Ravens Steelers, I'm going with the Ravens. Bills Broncos. I'm not going to predict two upsets in this round, so I'm going to go with the Bills, but the temptation is real. Vikings at Rams, I'm going to go with the Vikings. Commanders at Buccaneers, I'm going to go with the Commanders. Packers at Eagles, I'm going to go with the Packers, man. Okay, so for your divisional round, you have the Ravens at the Bills.
Give me the Bills again.
You have the Texans at the Chiefs.
Give me the Chiefs.
You have the Rams at the Lions.
Give me the Rams again.
Oh my God, dude. You have the Buccaneers at the Eagles. Remember the last two times the Buccaneers faced the Eagles.
Give me the Eagles.
Oh, the temptation was real. I could feel it. Okay, Ravens at the Bills. I really want to pick the Ravens. But I did say that, like, a team beating another two times in a single season doesn't really feel like the best of odds of happening. I guess I'm going to make an exception to my own rule and I'm going to say the Ravens. The Ravens beat the Bills and the Chiefs beat the Chargers. Then I have Packers at Lions. I'm going to go with the Lions. Commanders at Vikings. I'm going to go with the Vikings. Okay, finally for you, before going to the Super Bowl, the Bills at the Chiefs.
Give me the Bills.
Oh my God. The Rams at the Eagles.
Give me the Eagles.
Oh, this is a great Super Bowl, Angelo. That's a really good Super Bowl. Okay, Ravens at Chiefs. You know what happens, man. You can dread it, you can run from it. The Chiefs arrive all the same. Give me the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. Vikings at Lions. Lions are going to the Super Bowl. This is like my is the most bland Super Bowl ever. It's like the two seeds, but I mean, I think it's deserved. So give me the Chiefs at Lions. That's my Super Bowl. Your Super Bowl is a Super Bowl of the two seeds. Mine is of the one seed. So you have Bills at Eagles. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? Who's going to be the bad franchise fans who are going to celebrate this one? Is it going to be the insane Bills fans or the obnoxious Eagles fans?
Going to be the obnoxious Eagles fans, Alex.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Sandra.
Yeah,
Okay. Chiefs at Lions. In my art of art, I want to say the Chiefs are going to win this. But goddamn it, if I'm not a sucker for Dan Campbell, give me the Lions to win the Super Bowl. Can you imagine the atmosphere in Detroit if they win a Super Bowl with Dan Campbell? Can you imagine like
with like half
the
of
pregame speech,
defense.
the post-game speech, the kneecaps are going to be bitten.
Oh.
Okay, so your Super Bowl pick is the Eagles. Your Super Bowl is the Bills the Bills and the Eagles. My Super Bowl pick is the Lions, and my Super Bowl is the Chiefs and Lions in the Super Bowl. So that's it. Those are the playoffs predictions. Those are the playoff picks for the wildcard round. And I guess we're out of here, Angelo. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I think this was a good episode. This we actually kind of did do what changes we were going to make after the playoffs, and I think just based on what I've seen, it went pretty well, honestly. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so as well. I think the only thing that is a bit different is the betting aspect, right?
Yeah.
But I guess we'll talk a bit more about it after the playoffs are done, the Super Bowl is done. But that's really the only change. I think that you're going to see a much more like compact episode and a much more like guided episode in terms of like what we're doing. We're not going to be all over the place. We're going to stick to a guide and to a script and run with
Unfortunately.
it. Yeah, unfortunately, the rambles are going to come down a bit. They're still going to be present here or there, of course, because that's what we do best. But yeah, I liked it. I think a structure is good at times. Let's put it like that.
Okay. Well, that's it for me. You can do
All
the
right.
outro.
Okay, guys. Well, as you know, if you've enjoyed the show so far, even if you don't, come on now. We've been doing this for a while now. You know what I need you guys to do. I need you guys to, if you're listening on the podcast app, the Apple Podcast app, that is, the Spotify app, I need you guys to leave us a 5-star review, to subscribe to the show, turn on the auto downloads as well. It really helps out the show quite a bit. And make sure to leave us some comments in there as well. I know that's possible on Spotify and whatnot, so just make sure to do all of that. I would say if you're listening on YouTube, what to do, but this show is 2 hours long, so yeah, get your ass to the podcasts. That's what you need to be listening to, and it's much easier. So yeah, no indications to the YouTube guys because they won't get the show. So yeah, guys, enjoy the playoffs. Hope you have a blast. Hope your team is in it. Mine isn't. Angelo's isn't. So we're pretty partial here. We're not going to be rooting for anyone in specific. I guess Angelo, like his second team is the Eagles, apparently, or he just likes to ride that Eagles dick or something. So he's probably going to be rooting for them. But that's about it. So yeah, enjoy the playoffs, guys. Hope your team is in it, and we'll be here. Waiting for you guys after the playoffs are done, the wild card round is done, and we'll be sitting here and discussing what happened and why the Eagles lost. So yeah, guys, have a good week and talk to you later.
How weird was it that our teams were the last teams out of the playoffs in both conferences?
Really sucks, man.
Yeah.
Nine wins, 10 wins, both out.
Yeah, it does really suck. All right. See you guys.